Let's do this!
A swing and a belt. Left field, way back. Blue Jays win it.
Oh, God. Down the sideline. Wow. Touchdown.
Unbelievable.
Trying to finish it.
It's over. It's
over. Here's a chance. That call. Shot rebound. Score.
I feel like we don't use that one very much anymore, man.
Well, you know what? I'd speak to the guy in charge if I were you.
Yeah, he's a douche.
Well, he's a...
Yeah.
Lazy, no good, two-bit...
Douche. Yeah, okay. Got the introductions out of the way. Hi, lazy, two-bit douchebag over here. Rob over there.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome back to another episode of Tall Can Sports.
Scintillating episode.
Obviously. You can give us a follow on social media at Tall Can Audio. All the episodes go up at tallcanaudio.com, so make sure you drop by those places. Man, what's happening?
I'm not happy. I'm not. That's second.
It's better than the last one.
It's the second show in a row that
the
it
last
felt...
last one was flaccid.
Felt very tentative. Watched a little Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Induction. Now, I'm not sure if that happened a while ago. Oh. What was that?
I have a stubby. What? Also, my beer is open. Hey-o!
Yeah, let's look at that guy. You just beat me to it. That's all it is.
This is, I don't know. Let's do your thing, and then we'll get to my thing. You were watching the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yes. What do you know about Roxy Music?
Didn't I ask you about that like months ago? There was a song. No, that was like Roxy Rollers, I think.
Yeah. Roxy. Yeah. Two different songs.
I don't know anything about Roxy Music.
They do Avalon.
Oh.
Yeah, I can't do more than that.
Okay.
There'd be two or three Roxy Music songs. But man, funky, weird, sort of. To me, they were like prog, way before prog.
Okay.
Like Alan Parsons and that bit of business.
Nice.
Yeah, they got inducted with The Cure, Janet Jackson.
Yeah, I think we talked about the class that was.
Right. Radiohead and Def Leppard were also on the list.
Did they respectfully decline?
See, Radiohead had balked because they
had disrespectfully declined at one point.
Yes, and that's right. They said, we're not showing up. We were eligible last year, and clearly we're first balloters, right? Like,
obviously.
Don't even bother putting us on it next year, because we ain't coming.
I kind of like that shithead move.
So, but bands, you know, you get inducted, you get nominated, you come up, and you give your little acceptance speech, somebody introduces you, and then you play a couple of tunes.
Yep.
Right, so... The Zombies went in too, as well.
Okay.
But only two members of the five of Radiohead showed up. So.
Oh, there's some friction.
The two who were there talked about what a great, great honor and what a big fucking deal it was.
Yeah.
And that's an exact quote. This is a real big fucking deal. And it feels like it too. But yeah, two of the five. So no creep or, you know, any of that other bit of business.
Right.
So, but Def Leppard, man, I love the Pyromania album. 83, 26 years old now, that album. But don't get on stage. Don't do it. And I think they may be in Ottawa within the next month. They're on
Blues
tour.
Fest.
No, they're at the CTZ.
Oh.
With Tesla.
That's 20,000 seats.
It is.
Maybe you should have tried like the Bronson Center or something.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen, but they've been pumping it up. But yeah, they came on and they did their three songs. They did Rock of Ages, nice, off the Pyromania album.
Yeah.
Photograph.
Right. Not the Nickelback version
Not
that we
the
were
Nickelback,
talking about.
Yes. And then they went on to, I don't know, Rocket or something off of Hysteria, and I clicked it off and went to bed. But
I'm going to bed.
This is terrible, man. I'm just like, we all know it sucks to get old, right? And I think Joe Elliott, lead singer, doesn't have the best pipes going, never did, right?
Right, yeah.
The studio did a lot for him.
Yep.
But anyways, it's just...
What are you drinking?
I got a little of the Lager Driver by Lund's Mill.
I still got one of those sitting out there, too, as we continue our East Coast maritime parade through the TCA studios.
Parade, no less.
That's from the, as you mentioned, the Lund's Mill Company. We mentioned them earlier. We've had the Purple Grain.
Purple Grain.
Which was
Purple Grain.
Sorry, I thought you were finished.
Come on, man. You're trampling all over it.
I sure am.
It's gold. Audio gold.
It's an IPA. And so we both had a couple of those. I didn't mind it. I'm not a huge IPA guy, as you know, but I was all right with it.
Behind the curve, hey. That's all it is.
Tell me more.
Yeah. You'll be here soon, right? You're just always a couple of years behind.
It's because I'm actually a couple of years behind.
Yeah, but I'm drinking it right across the table from you.
Yeah. Enjoy. I'm on the, I was going to call it the headless bass player, but that's just the picture on it. It's Mean Joe Bean.
It's true, it is.
Whatever that means. Joe Beans. From the Triders Craft Beer Company out of Amherst, Nova Scotia.
Amherst.
Yes, I've been corrected several times. Not Amherst.
It's yeah.
Amherst.
Well, then maybe you should take the H out.
Stupids.
Uppity.
So it's a coffee blonde. I have never had
a
coffee blonde before.
And?
I don't mind it.
Okay, that's not... You're not selling it. You're never getting a job on the Food Network with that kind of...
No, I'm probably not. Here's Matt having his pork chop and potato again for the third night this week.
Leftover from the tasting on the show that happened before. Are you going to eat that other part of the potato right there? Is that actually going to happen?
I don't like the skin.
Well, you got a lot.
All right. I don't mind some coffee stouts. I just never had a coffee blonde before. I don't mind this. You know, would you sit back and have six or eight of them? I'm not too sure, but so, to sit and enjoy, I am enjoying it. I just think it's not one that you maybe go all day on, right?
Okay, so it is a little more, it's the coffee, or it's a little more of whatever's the making coffee it the blonde?
The coffee is coming through much stronger than it would in a coffee stout.
All right, and you're not a coffee
guy. I'm not a coffee guy, so.
Okay, all right, well, I'd be interested in, not now.
No.
But
I've been logging it around.
Unless you got two straws there, we could have an awkward moment here.
So we're not going to do that. Okay. No. Had picked up a few, as everybody knows by Shucks. Now, as we were on our way to Halifax, and had a few people leaving behind us, coupled by a couple of days. So,
which is really people who refuse to travel with us.
Which I kind of get. But they also stopped and picked up a couple of extra things so that... you know, be able to stretch this out a little bit. So if you're listening, and I know you're not, thanks. Appreciate it. Should we talk a little sports? It is what we do here.
I forgot where we were.
Okay.
Like
if we were somewhere else, we probably wouldn't talk sports.
Yeah. Like if we were out there.
Right.
We'd be, you know, deep into Brexit failures and the like.
Oh, Theresa May.
Yeah. See you later,
Save your tears.
Yep. For somebody who cares. Yeah. Like clearly Donald Trump.
Right. Obviously. Where do you want to start?
I want to start with you and I we briefly touched on Toronto wingers who may soon and have been relocated and may soon be relocated. Those sorts of things. And really I'm intrigued, and maybe I'm alone in this about the whole Kessel to Minnesota talk, right? And have you heard that? And him, you know, you've heard some initial reports that maybe he's saying, I don't want to go there.
He only has 8 teams that he can be traded to. He has a 23-team no-trade list.
That seems stupid, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't know how it's negotiated.
How about a full no-move?
Like when he signed, there was no Vegas. So, you know, not that that matters, 22 versus 23, 30, but 8 teams that I can be sent to without Now, just before you go any further, he's been traded from Toronto to Pittsburgh. Do you think he would put Toronto on his list of teams that he would go to, knowing that that's never going to happen, that they're never going to ship him back there? So now it's actually only seven teams that he could be shipped to without his permission.
If I felt huge amounts of animosity towards the organization.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am burning one of those on there.
For sure. And one probably on Philly, right? Like, I know you'll never trade Pittsburgh and Philly don't trade.
So, yeah.
We were talking about this a couple of years ago off air. I don't know if you were there or not. I was talking to somebody about this, but Dion Phaneuf only had so many teams he could be sent to.
Right.
And
didn't put Ottawa on the list.
Right. Thinking they'll never trade with Ottawa. They'll never trade with Montreal. So those are two bonuses I get. And then, oh, fuck, they traded with Ottawa, right? So.
Oh, here I am.
Right. So.
But they boo me less here.
For sure. I don't know why that was. I don't understand why we booed him. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. But the little things you can do to manipulate these little no trade lists.
Yeah,
right?
But not really. At the end of the day, you're still traded and you're not playing where you want to play.
Right. The deal seems to be a lot of talk about Kessel and Jack Johnson, which seems really weird to Minnesota for, I think, Jason Zucker. Not Jason Zucker. Is it Jason?
Yeah.
Something Zucker.
Yeah.
And somebody else out of Minnesota going the other way. I can't remember.
Well, see, and I didn't really hear what the return was.
The interesting thing to me is obviously they've decided already after 1 year the Jack Johnson deal was terrible, but you gave it to one of Sidney Crosby's best friends.
Yeah.
Can you now turn around and trade it back? Ooh, fuck. That was a mistake.
Well, and really, how much more of that does Minnesota want to take on?
Like, right.
I know part of Kessel's money is still being retained in Toronto.
Yeah, I think it's $1.2 million.
Yeah, so it leaves him around six, I think, is what the actual out-of-pocket value on that is. And Johnson's up around, I don't know, four?
Yeah.
Four and change?
I think it's right around four. For 5 years.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah, that is, well, and for a guy who was already losing a step and into his 30s.
Yeah.
You're like,
But one of Crosby's best buds.
Yeah. All right.
Are we done winning here? We can just.
Yeah. Then we can start cushioning things for guys.
Victory parade or whatever they call it. Victory lap for Sidney Crosby and his buddies.
Yeah. Well, and really, because now you're also hearing, you know, and again, just rumors, right? They're saying that, yeah, maybe they'd move Malkin, right?
Yeah. I'd heard that a couple times. I've heard Friedman mention it.
And you think.
But again, he's got a no trade as well.
Yeah. But I think you got to be. You have to be convinced that you're done there.
Done winning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you were going to go away from, because to
if
me,
you're
Malkin.
Keep bringing in Jack Johnsons and Eric Goodbransons, they're done winning.
Right. And you go, well, what do we have?
We're going to talk on a show next weekend about the top free agents of this season, both RFA and UFA. And a lot of talk seems to be that a couple of the big ones are headed for Florida. And I think it was Friedman who floated, what if Malkin was willing to waive to go there? Now he's playing with Bobrovsky and Panarin. And
well, and how much, Christ, how much cap space do they have? And
right.
what do you have to send back?
You know, how much are you willing to send back? You don't want to do Barkov because he's much younger than Malkin.
For sure.
So, I mean, they got cap space, but you're going to have to unload something. Like, and you presumably want a center. I don't know what that looks like, but it's an interesting.
Well, because the further people go down that path, well, then you're like, what do you, you're going to get to a spot where you're going to have one quarter of your lineup is going to be brought in new and you're going to fire it out?
Yeah.
Like,
apparently.
Yeah. Well, because really.
But all of a sudden, Malkin, Huberto, Panarin as your top line.
Yeah.
Barkov down on your second. As a division rival, I'm not that interested in seeing that happen. I don't need that.
No, it's not. Well, exactly. Especially Bobrovsky is in goal there.
Yep. But it's interesting.
Well, yes, it is. And really, it's just great water cooler talk, which is what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. But you and I were kicking it around, the whole William Nylander thing, which is what triggered me to the Phil Kessel thing.
18 points in 8 games at the Worlds.
Yeah, he's killing
it. He's back.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of those things. And somebody was asking, and I can't remember who it was, saying, Do you think that performances at Worlds enhances your value in terms of trade or re-signing in the NHL? And I'm like, absolutely not.
I don't think it hurts it, but I don't think it helps it.
A couple of years ago, Cody Ceci went over there and ripped it up. Had a great Worlds.
So you know it's worthless.
with Patrick Weirkoch.
Weirkoch.
Yeah, like these are the guys having great Worlds, and you go,
yeah, because they are out.
Well, this is it.
Yeah. No, I get it. Like Willie's over there tearing it up, and
yeah, he's ripping up the Italians and the Austrians.
See, this
and,
is always though that. Yeah, where do you think Wayne and Mario got all their international points? And Elias Pettersson, whatever, he's over there, got a third of what
Elias Pettersson
Nylander's got, playing on the same line. How come he can't light up the Hungarians or whoever the fuck it is? So, look, I don't think this means anything in terms of the disappointing season that Nylander had. I don't think it's an indication that he's found his game. Maybe he goes into the summer feeling a little better, although they got punted in the quarters by the Finns, so Lundqvist has not been very good lately.
Well, he had a bad season.
Yeah.
Like he was sub King Henrik.
For me, when I look at Willie, I'm often disappointed.
Yeah.
No, this means nothing. He had a terrible season. I expect he'll be better next season. His performance at Worlds does nothing to sway me further or more confident in any direction. But this is just what happens over there.
But you dropped it on the table out there. Without, you know, prompting or warning, you're like, well, I guess the Toronto media is going to get what they want, and they're going to get Willie traded out of town.
Because they're Darren Dreger is over there doing exactly what you just did. Well, he looked pretty good against Italy or whoever, right? Like, it's a very backhanded. I think after two 60-point seasons to start your career, and then one horrible one where you miss camp and whatever. I don't know how much that played into it. I'm just not giving up on that kid and selling him at an all-time low. But they are pounding this over and over and over that you're not going to be able to sign Marner because you gave Willie too much. That's bullshit.
But that is the problem. And before we get into that, because I agree, right, that one doesn't really have as much to do with the other one.
No.
Right? It really comes down to, If Willie gets traded, it's not so much that Willie's a bum, right? I don't think anybody's suggesting that.
Oh, I think lots of people are.
All right. Well, okay. But you know how it is when people, you listen to people like, and right here on this show, talking hyperbole and whatever else to make a point, right? You have to denigrate somebody else or you have to. But the reality is, to me, he's clearly the third of those three sort of phenoms, right? Of Matthews, Marner, and Nylander.
Pretty much neck and neck with Mitch in seasons one and two. In this last season, he fell way behind him. Now, part of that's on Mitch having a huge season. Part of that's on Mitch getting to play with Tavares. And part of that is totally self-inflicted by Nylander and how long he sat out.
But in that same time period, Marner jumps from 60-odd points to 84 points.
Mm-hmm. 90, I think.
I think he had 84 points.
Okay. I thought he had 90. You could be right.
Probably. But all I'm saying is, and also it greatly enhanced his two-way game, right? Killing penalties.
That's legit. He's killing penalties. He's on the top like matchup line now all the time. The one thing that I don't really understand why we're not talking about it more, and I love Mitch. I want to keep all these guys. But John Tavares was known in New York for turning Trent Hunter into 25-goal guy that you've never heard of before, right? He was known for having nobodies on his wing that, oh, look, career year. Traded? Nobody. Kyle Oposo, right? Who's the other kid? Matt Molson.
I was going to say John Molson, but that's not right.
No, we like him. Yeah, I'm not bashing that guy. No. So all of a sudden, that's what he's known for. And he gets to Toronto, and Mitch turned John Tavares into career year guy? Or did John Tavares help turn Mitch into career year guy?
Could it be both?
Of course it could.
Yeah.
But we're not doing that. It's 47 goals for John Tavares. You don't think he's never had that before, so it must be Mitch Marner. Maybe they just had good chemistry together.
Yep, for sure.
So
for sure. But yeah, he didn't get 47 goals playing with Matt Molson.
Oof, if you will.
Right, but you know what I mean? And
yeah,
so
for sure.
It does, of course.
I'm not trying to tear down Mitch either. It's so funny that John Tavares was known for one thing when we signed him, and that's why we were so happy to get him. And a year later, it's like, look what Mitch turned him into.
Right.
No.
Yeah. But you can't help but notice that it just was that much better.
Yep. Yeah. All I'm saying is, who knows, if Willie comes to camp this year, healthy, has a full year, and he plays 82 games with John Tavares, do we know for sure he's not the one who takes the huge jump?
No.
No.
No, we don't. But do we see him as the two-way player that Marner's developing into?
No, we don't. He's better than people give him credit for, but he's not going in the... Like, he was top 20 in the league this year in terms of takeaways, which we love in Mark Stone. We love in Pavel Datsyuk. He's good at tracking back through the middle and lifting the stick. And that's one of the reasons people say maybe he should be left in the middle, right? Because on the wing,
yeah,
you got to jump down into the corner. And yeah, no, he does some embarrassing stuff there that's not his game. So
yeah. Well, and the takeaway, the open ice and along the boards, the middle portion of the ice, that's the game now.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That is a serious skill. And yeah, I don't think anybody looks away from that. Although top 20 seems high.
If Mitch Marner wants $11.5 million, if he wants Austin, you have to either trade him before July 1st or let someone off Rashid and take the 4 first round picks. You cannot give him that. And even if you believe that you can, it doesn't come at the expense of Willie. Willie's not the problem. Patrick Marleau is the problem. Nikita Zaitsev, those are bad deals.
There's his money right there. There's about $10 million.
Exactly. So you can't do it. 6.9. Someone just gave Brock Nelson.
Six times six.
Career year at pushing 30. Career year 53 points. You want him for 6 years at $6 million, or you want Willie at 6.9 for 6 years?
Oh, I'm taking Nylander.
For sure you are.
But it's not an option.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. Someone, just because other teams are willing to do crazy shit, doesn't like...
See Edmonton.
I'm afraid Willie's going to see Edmonton. I don't want that.
what are they going to send back?
Nothing I want. Maybe Adam Larson.
Russell?
All right. I feel like we just got me all wound. Is this really what we were going to talk about? Look, my whole thing is $6.9 million for what Willie did this past season was unacceptable. $6.9 million for what I expect Willie to do next year and what he did the two previous years, I'm fine with.
Do you expect him to eclipse Brock Nelson next year?
I absolutely expect he will eclipse Brock Nelson next year.
All right, then.
That's on the table.
If the Professor Lamorello, if you can outsmart him, then
same guy who signed the Zaitsev and Marleau deals.
Yep, then you're good to go, man.
Sure,
you're good to go.
My whole thing on that is just it's relentless in Toronto that Mitch can't get what he wants because of Willie, and they're gonna get him dealt out of town just because at some point it reaches critical mass, right? It's get Phil Kessel out, you get whatever Larry Murphy'd on out of here, although that was more of the fans than the media
for sure.
So
now do you see him less than $10 million
right now, Mitch?
Yep.
He's gonna be right in that neighborhood, and I said all year he wouldn't be. The world has moved under my feet a little bit, but
we love
so
that.
I'm gonna be wrong. But here's what they just put out the numbers within the last couple of weeks on where the offer sheet thing stands, where it moves from 2 firsts and a third or whatever it is up to 4 firsts. And that's at, I think, 10.4. Anything over 10.4, you take the picks.
Right. Well, and I think if somebody is going to offer sheet him, and you hear more and more that people saying, yeah, this is the year.
Yeah.
This is the year. And we'll get into it.
I'm still skeptical.
Well, I am too. Yeah. They always talk about it. But with the class of RFAs coming up,
yep,
like never before.
Yep. And we will get into that as you suggest.
And with the way it's going, right, if you are getting fat cash out of your entry-level deal,
right,
you're now coming to a spot where that is, if it's going to happen, it becomes potentially more dangerous now than ever before.
So could the Leafs turn around? And I don't think he would come here. But just for example's sake, they lose Mitch on an offer sheet. They take 4 first-round picks. They use Mitch's money to sign Panarin. And now you trade 2 of those first-round picks for maybe some help on right defense. And now you still have your own first-rounders plus these other 2 from the... Are you not further ahead? Like, is that not something you have to at least look at?
Well...
Assuming you can get someone to replace Mitch, right?
Well, and it's a big... Yeah, the only problem there is as another winger coming in Panarin,
mm-hmm.
what are you paying him?
That's what I'm saying. Oh, he's getting Mitch's 10 mil or whatever it's going to be. Maybe you go a step, maybe you go a little Jeff Skinner.
Well, see, but I think...
And a bottom pair defenseman. Like, yeah. I'm just throwing names around,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure, but I'm not taking Skinner. I think that's a 2-year deal somewhere.
Yeah.
Anybody who's going to go in heavy on that guy.
Right.
It seems dangerous.
But you see what I'm saying.
I certainly do.
At some point, you can't just give him whatever you want wants.
And I think you can't give Panarin Marner money.
Right. No, you're probably right about that. He's a couple years older.
I think he's got to come in 20% less.
Oof. Do you think he will?
Between 8 and 9, can't be more than 8, more than that.
I think he's getting more than 9.
Well, and if it is, it's because he's driving the market as a UFA.
Now, the only complication is if he goes to Florida, the no tax thing, can he then
sign? Yeah, we'll give you 8.5, and everyone will be happy.
Right. So maybe there, right?
Anyways, we got time for that down the road.
Yeah. Everyone feels like Mitch has got a gun to our head, and I'd love to keep him, but not at any price, not at any cost. To me, he's got all this money coming, plus the number of commercials and endorsements and shit he's doing. Everyone keeps saying, he's the hometown kid. You got to keep him. He's the hometown kid. Let him fucking...
Yeah.
How bad do you want
to
be?
Exactly. When does that come down to you go, that's when you say when things are tough, you go, well, you got to keep the hometown kid.
Yeah.
Well, shouldn't it be the hometown kid saying, I want to stay here.
Wants to stay here. Are you really better off making 10.5 in Columbus than you are making 9.5 in Toronto with your Tim Hortons and your Bauer and your whatever, right? Intact, I think, is the insurance company's. Yeah,
probably your Rogers money, isn't it?
Right.
Who is that when they're on the whatever the commercial is that he and Austin Matthews are doing?
Yeah. Well, and there's the Apple one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, it's being shot on an iPhone. And it's, yeah. So I don't know, man. It's up to him, but I don't think he's going to be hurting for cash here if you were to just take. I don't know how you can give him more than Cooch. I don't know how you can give him more than Mark Stone.
You have to. Well, and
I do. Like I said, I think it'll be around 10, so it will be more than those 2 guys. But
Stone is making 9 to 9.5.
9.5, I think.
Yeah. So
in a no tax state, though.
Yep.
There is Nevada. Maybe Nevada.
No,
isn't.
No, Nevada is a no tax as well.
Okay, so there you go. Right.
And really, in the last 3 years, Marner's put up more points.
Yeah. Now that's a...
Marginally.
Yeah. But we've talked about what else Mark Stone does.
And, for sure we have. You just need to look at him at the...
But if you're looking at comparables, it's Kucherov in terms of style of game. And is he worth more than Kucherov? No.
Yeah.
So okay. What's the tax thing but, worth? What's the...
Yeah. It gets to a point, though, and I think what's happened, and even though it was just last summer, whenever it was, when Kucherov signed that deal.
Yeah.
Right? How much, as you say, the ground has shifted even since then.
Yeah.
Right? You look at what's happened with Matthews as a center, obviously, but with that, and I don't think it's just the money, it's the term, right? It's all those sorts of things.
Yep.
It's continued to shift.
Yep.
And it's like looking at Nate McKinnon making 6.5 for the next 4 years, and you go
500,000 more than Brock Nelson.
And you know, you know, Mikko Rantanen's going to totally eclipse that.
For sure.
And is he the better player? No.
No.
But that's how that works. And you go, oh, you're a winger, and you're now going to be paid more than the best player on your team?
Yeah.
And arguably in the top 3 in the league?
Right. Yeah.
He says as he goes, Johnny High Voice. Right? So it's one of those things where you sort of go, psh. Yeah, comparables are harder and harder in this time of,
for sure they
of
are.
Volatility in terms of the money, right? It's just sort of, it's ever-changing, and it's changing like that.
Right.
It's so hard, right, to go, well, Cooch is only making 9.
Cooch.
Yeah, I love that.
For sure.
You're my boy, Cooch.
So we're going to get more into that in a week or so. We've got a whole list of UFAs and RFAs I think we'll look at next weekend. So we'll go a little more in-depth on some of that, but we got a couple other things we wanted to touch on here.
I want to touch on, I'm going to jump in front of you there.
Touch it.
I don't know where you're going.
Well, now you'll never know.
Yeah. Canada at the Worlds, and it's an ongoing thing.
I wasn't going there.
So I don't really want to go there either.
Okay.
But I was keen. I was keen to listen to. I wanted to sit down. I'm at work, and the local TSN radio station, 1200, it's got Canada and Switzerland. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to spend my morning working away with a little background of... And at
see
that,
what Rafael Diaz is doing?
Yeah, Roman Josi, Kevin Fiala, yeah. Those guys ripping it up.
Matt Tomicelli.
Yeah, well, I don't think he's still over there. What was your Nino Rider?
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me Nino Rider.
Right. And I was, it escaped me. I was trying to think of what was he doing?
I hit it with more gusto last show.
Yeah, you
last
did. Show. You did. But I get it.
Yep. I don't perform on cue.
Anyways, 10 minutes into the game, bam. Coverage gets preempted by the announcement that the Ottawa Senators have hired DJ Smith.
That is where I was going.
Okay. Which is, you know, and I'm thinking, you fuckheads. A, 12 hours ago, I said on a podcast.
Exactly.
He's my last choice to get to be hired. And there he is. And now you've totally preempted my listening.
My Canada, Switzerland, May hockey in Slovakia.
Yo. Hey, man.
I'm with you. I'm just...
You're a gamer. You're a gamer, man. Yeah. Could you not have held on to this announcement till 2 in the afternoon? And you and I had just said the night before, it's the weekend. Yeah, it's early next week.
Yep.
And in true Senator fashion, I'm going to do it now.
I think they heard us and they did it to screw with us, man. I think they're listening in that office. Many of you did point out, despite me making it perfectly clear when I posted the show notes, that we knew this was immediately out of date. Hey, they already hired somebody. Yeah, I know. Thanks, though. Listening 3 days later, like, it might not be immediately.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. So, yeah, we recorded the show on, was it Tuesday night?
Wednesday night.
Yeah. Posted it late Wednesday night. Yeah, and as you suggest, Thursday morning. Oh, there it is. Immediately.
Well, and as we said, we covered that in the show going, yeah, they're talking about the weekend. They're talking about by announcing early next week. But again, yeah. For some reason, they had to get that DJ Smith announcement out nice and early. So I miss Mark Stone or Sorensen.
Severson.
Dana.
Damon or Dana.
Dana.
Dana Severson.
I've botched the whole name now.
Sure, whatever.
Some guy. The generic,
Annika Sorenstam, I believe you were going with.
New Jersey Devil guy, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe. 0.4 second.
Yep. Ties it up. We're about to lose for the third straight time.
Honest to God, I don't know what's happening there. You know, where's Martin Gerber or David Abisher or any of these?
Abisher. That's a sweet callback. Jonas Hiller.
Any of these other guys just coming out of the woodwork to kill it.
Yep.
So I'm missing all that for the announcement that DJ Smith.
A coach that you don't want.
Right. And now, you know what? You listen to him. You're like, whatever. Okay. We're going to see how this goes.
My team's been off for a month and a half. I don't really care till September.
Well, and that's all I'm saying is we'll hold it. Leave it.
Yeah.
Wait. And so now I'm interested more in who he's going to name as his assistants. And he's saying.
Nerd.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. It's true, man. That's what we do here, right?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. But when you were recently asked if you were a nerd, you may have to reevaluate your answer.
Well, is it just being a nerd in the band or whatever it is and being a hockey nerd?
Is it really though? Anyway.
We're going to throw down.
Okay.
We're going to see right now.
Okay.
I'm wondering.
I'm not in the band.
Yes.
I was though.
I'm wondering, what do you think about Bob Bugner?
The boogeyman?
You think he would come on as an assistant after being a head coach in the league?
Yeah, just fired, I believe, for Joel Quenneville, wasn't he, down in Florida?
Yep. Well, Bugner was part of the turnstile that is coaching, the coaching carousel in Florida.
I would imagine he would wait a little longer to see what shuffles loose in other places in terms of head coaching gigs.
What about Warren Reichel?
And then maybe wait a little longer to see what shakes loose in other cities in assistant coaching.
Well, and really all I'm looking at though is that sort of that Windsor Mafia.
Yep.
Right? All those guys who work together down there.
Right.
And you sort of, and really I'm only spitballing at this point.
Yeah.
Right? Because to me,
I bet you Warren Reichel's more likely, although I believe he's more in like ownership down there.
Well, I thought he and Bugner co-owned, or they both.
That's right.
Owned.
They co-owned, but he and DJ Smith coached together, and then Smith left for Oshawa.
Right.
And I believe Warren Reichel continued to coach there.
Right. So this is all I'm just sort of putting, you know, you do that NHL.
Sure.
Who's worked with who?
Around.
Where have you been? Right. All those sorts of things. And clearly he needs.
Like how we only hire people out of the Sioux now.
Yeah. Well, this is it. And he needs to have somebody, I think, as an experienced NHL guy, or at least more experienced than him.
Rick Bonus.
Yeah. Well, okay. And really, no. But, you know, Bonus isn't leaving a tax-free Dallas.
Friedman floated the idea that Mark Crawford may end up on Mike Babcock's bench as the other assistant there, which, well, I don't know. He said he's spitballing, not reporting.
Right. And you bring up another interesting point to me, which I shot you an email the other day talking about, you know, that whole thing about Dubas saying, you know, I'll let you know about Mike when I know if I've got a job, right? And then we'll let you know if Mike's got a job or whatever that deal was.
We will all be evaluated.
And then at the end of the day, Smith's gone because they've given him permission to speak to other people, which they didn't 3 years ago.
Yep.
Hillier, yep.
John, whatever. Not, but it is Hiller, but I forget his.
The other assistant coach,
yes.
John, Jim.
Sure.
Whatever it is.
Jim Hiller.
They've also given him now permission.
Did
it's like.
See, though? Okay. DJ Smith was given permission to interview for a job, and if he was hired, he could go and do that job. Jim Hiller was given, we're just going to let you go find another. There are no interviews. There's no. He was fired,
okay.
But they gave him permission to.
All right, and see, so this to me is, at the end of the day, you look at it and go, okay, is that old Bluey just saying, all right, we can't get rid of a $7 million coach? We can, but we, you know, a guy who's taking us to back-to-back 100-point seasons,
right.
And you go, I'm going to fire that guy. Let's clear out the riffraff around him, and let's move the furniture around a bit.
Yeah.
That's what, to me, you look at that and go, is that what really is happening there?
Well, they brought a guy up, and I forget his name now because I didn't know we were going to end up on. I did, but I just didn't do the research. They hired an assistant coach who was the assistant in Florida. He's known to be a top power play guy, so was Jim Hiller. And had hit the Florida power play at number two in the league this year. I believe.
That's pretty good, I think.
After reading a few different places, that guy is very tight with DJ Smith. And that was probably the connection. That's how Babcock knew him. That's why they were bringing him in. And then as it was basically done, DJ Smith gets the invite to interview for the Ottawa job.
Okay, because DJ Smith.
And he's gone.
Right. DJ Smith was saying, because he was asked in the presser here about what was going to happen in terms of, did he have any idea of where he wants to go with assistants?
Right.
And he's like, well, I do. He said, but, you know, it's a competitive league.
Yep.
Right. There's people in under contract. There's people who are wanted in other places too. Right.
Yeah.
It's competitive. He said, I got a couple of guys. He said, one, I want to make a move on right now. So I don't know what that means.
Right.
Right. And so you start to look at, these connections. And this is what I'm talking about.
Well,
right?
And I wonder, right, like he's sort of been brought into the Jim Hiller job on the power play. But he was probably coming essentially through DJ Smith. Now that's gone. Now Dubas, DJ Smith, and this guy are all junior hockey guys. This guy coached in Kingston, and I believe, again, was also in Windsor, as we were talking about at one point.
Well, you know what? And I heard the name yesterday, and it's completely escaped
me. Yeah, for me too. And so it is what it is. But, you know, is that, even if it was through DJ Smith and it came from Kyle Dubas, as you've suggested, Mike's guys are gone. You're not gone yet, Mike, but I'm going to give you the assistance that I want you to have. Or how much did Babcock have invested in this? Right now, they'll be looking for somebody to do DJ Smith's job of running the defense and the penalty kill. But who's making that pick, right? Who's making that hire? Is it Mike or is it Kyle?
And you look at Joel Quenneville when he was still in Chicago through that cup run.
Yeah.
They had cycled through a couple of different.
Yep.
Sets of assistant coaches, right? And you sort of go,
well, one of the backbreakers there was they fired Mike Kitchen, which is his guy. That's his right-hand man.
You're my boy, Blue.
Yeah, exactly. Had him everywhere he ever went. And that was a huge shot across the bow. One of his closest friends and coworkers, and fired him. And that was not a good thing for the Stan Bowman, Joel Quenneville relationship.
Yeah. Well, and that's what you say though, right? Is okay, we are going to take away some of your comfort.
Yeah.
Right. Freshen it up a bit, see what happens here. And so clearly that if, and we talked at the end of the season when the Leafs went out in seven, we talked about the idea that, okay, you're not going to get rid of Babcock, although I think you said it was about a 50-50 or you weren't sure, right?
I wasn't sure. Yeah.
And so, but it feels more and more now like you've now, the assistants are gone.
Yep.
And this really is, you may only be halfway through your 8-year contract or whatever it is.
Right.
But this to me is the shot that says, okay,
it's your do it now.
Do it.
Because Big Blue can't afford to write you the check.
For sure, yeah.
So
yeah, we'll scratch that out.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot to that, right? We're bringing in some more people that want to do this the way we're doing. Are you going to adapt and work with them? Or are we going to see same old here moving forward? So I think it's interesting. You weren't high on the DJ Smith thing the last time we talked about it. You don't sound that high on it now. Has there been anything over the course of the week that you've read or heard that made you go, I don't know, maybe?
And it's more, it really, I don't think it matters here in Sens Land, right? Whatever they did was going to get panned in some way.
Yep.
You're bringing in a retread. If it was Bonus or Martin, you're like, yeah, these guys haven't been a head coach in decades.
He's unproven and he's cheap.
And so, this is in the presser. You got Dorian and DJ Smith up on the stage, and Dan Segan from CBC Ottawa said, my question's for Pierre. He said, if you've seen what's out there on social media, a lot of people feel like this is a bargain hire.
That's got to feel good.
I want to see your DJ Smith. Yeah. I'm here. I'm taking names right there.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm taking names.
I remember you dancing.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to pull that cheap jacket over your head and start filling you.
You're CBC. What are you making, buddy?
Yeah. Anyways, and if you look at the video, Sagan's got the question halfway done, and Pierre's looking off, and he's laughing. You're like, are you laughing? Like, that's the craziest thing ever. What would make you think that we would have a bargain hire?
Are we known for being cheap?
Give it the respect, at least, that it deserves.
I understand why you would ask the question, or no, we feel fair market value, or whatever.
Well, and then he went and said, zero truth. This is the best man for the job. He could be making $10 million, or he could be working for a buck. He's the best man for the job.
Which one of those two numbers?
And you go, yep, which is closer? Which is closer, Pierre? Right? And so at the end of the day, you listen to him, and you got Pierre Dorion out there saying, DJ Smith checks all the boxes. Well, you said the exact same thing. Checks all the boxes for Boucher 3 years ago.
Right.
Like, exact quote.
Michael Boedker.
Checks all the boxes of what we need.
He probably did.
Yeah. So you sort of go,
Yeah.
You know what? You don't have a lot of faith. And so to me, I think maybe DJ Smith turns out to be an awesome pick.
Right.
Right? He talks about how good his teams are defensively. Right?
Yeah.
Deflecting away from the fact that, he ran the Leafs D and their penalty kill.
Yeah, there's a certain amount of what was he given on that.
Well, okay, and for sure, there is talent, and it is how much does Babcock oversee.
Right.
Right, and I think everybody fully understands on a Babcock bench.
Yep.
It's a Babcock.
And we had the 17th PK, so mediocre, but not awful, right? Again, given the guys that they had. So everything I'd heard was that he was very well respected coming up, that everyone knew he was not far off from getting some NHL. Like, you heard his name circling around Edmonton a little bit as well, maybe a little bit around Buffalo. So I don't know if he's the right guy or not. I have no idea, but I don't think it's a terrible hire.
And all I was, where I was going with that was, and it may have been long-winded, which is why you're cutting in. It was that this organization couldn't afford to make that sort of wild card pick that looks like a low budget pick over
But as you suggest, it was going to get panned either way.
No, I know, but at some point you're like, what gets panned last? But now,
like, maybe they should just come out and we just overpaid this guy there now. Like, do we still feel cheap? This is the guy we wanted, and we overpaid to get him just so
No, and that's what, and I agree with it. And ultimately, maybe DJ Smith's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Right? And you sort of go, okay, there it is. It was interesting, though, to say, because if you look at his playing career, as a guy who played only 45 NHL games.
Bunch of those for Toronto.
He likes it. He likes it rough.
Yep.
Right? He's a guy who plays it. He's an aggressive player.
Yeah.
200-plus PIMs in a bunch of seasons. That's what he said. I like fast, hard hockey. That's what we're going to play.
Right.
I like that. Somebody asked him, doesn't need to be a senator, but who in the NHL right now would you say is a DJ Smith type player?
Right.
Who is it that you would say, that's the kind of guy I want to use?
William Nylander.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what he said. He said, not just because it's here, he said,
Brady
but,
Kachuk.
Yeah, he said, and his brother Matthew.
Right.
He's saying, the way the Kachuk guys play, that's the way I like it. And then he went on to say, love Shea Weber. And the first thing he says is,
maybe you could trade for him.
Well, the first thing he says is, he's not afraid to cross-check somebody in front of the net. You know, he's not afraid to lean on guys. He's mean. And he can pass the puck, too, and he can shoot it pretty hard.
Yeah, sure.
Right? But,
legal things.
Okay, and so then you sort of go, all right. I don't know if I love that or if...
Yeah, that's concerning.
If we're going to, so...
Now, when he was in Oshawa, took them to the Memorial Cup as a, an okay team or whatever. But the one thing that I did like about him, and that's been pointed out a few times since, is... He wasn't afraid to lean on his guys, even if they were more, at the time, now Tampa Bay Lightning, now Cirelli. Canadian world champion, championship player, Anthony Cirelli, was only 16 playing for the Jens at that time. And despite them being in some tight games in the Memorial Cup, he just kept throwing them out over the, and he was the third line center. Like, they had more top end guys. It wasn't because he had to, but he trusted them and he liked them. And I think if you're going to work with a young team, that, which Ottawa is going to be for a while now.
For sure.
It bodes well, right? That, I'm going to keep throwing the guys out there and see what happens rather than, bring in a Michael Boedker or a Jason Spezza, right? If you're bringing in Spezza to bring that, okay.
Yep.
That guy's got to be prepared to come in even here and be a third or fourth line center. And I'm going to keep putting out Colin White ahead of him, right? And you got to be prepared to stick to that.
Right. Well, you bring Spezza in as a third line guy.
Yeah.
And you run him out on the power play. A bit of a power play specialist.
Sure.
Yeah, no, I agree. And we'll wait and we'll see. And that is what they're saying, right? And he's clearly coming prepared. He said, I looked at 20 games. 20 games were the film before the interview.
Luckily, we got eliminated in plenty of time for him to be able to do that.
Yes, good for you guys.
That's back and looked at some of our tape? I'll see what we did.
Well, but that is what he said,
right?
Was, I had enough time in between that. Yeah, he goes, I looked at... 7 or 8 games from the beginning, 7 or 8 from the middle, and 6 or 7 from the end of the season to sort of compare. So we'll see.
I wonder if he looked at the times Ottawa kept feeding us our lunch.
Well, and somebody asked him, how do you feel about having Shabbat now after him walking, what's his face in that first game of the season?
I don't remember, was it
the Russian D?
Yeah, Ozhiganov.
Ozhiganov.
He's gone.
Yeah.
Walked him right out of the league.
See you later. That was a sweet move, though.
Yeah, for sure it was. I think the first weekend of the year.
Yeah. So, anyways, we will see, right? And time. We got plenty of time to figure that out.
It's been a little time since we've spent, so much time focused on our home teams, since they've stunk, been gone for so long. We've been having to focus on other teams.
I think it's been 2 years since we had to do any focus on Ottawa. Short of lunatic... Owners.
Yeah, no, it's been fun to focus on Ottawa on one side of the table here over the last little while. So, anything else you wanted to get to here?
Nope.
We're at 45, so it's up to you.
Yeah, no, I'm totally fine.
Okay.
What did you want to do though with in terms of cup talk? Did you want to just leave that?
If you got a couple notes you wanted to hit, I'm good with that. Otherwise, we hit it a bit on the last one, so it's up to you.
Okay, no, I had notes. But I left them at work.
Okay.
So, no, I'm cool.
We'll just touch on it on Wednesday then when
okay.
we've got a game in the books.
After it's up and going?
Yep. All right, I think then we'll wind this episode of Talkan Sports down. As always, you can hit us up on social media at Talkan Audio. On Twitter, you know, all the episodes go out there. On Instagram, that's where we throw up the beers that we're trying, so you can check back and, you know, maybe forget beers. The name of one. And this coffee blonde, man, it was interesting.
Beers!
Okay, it's time for us to get out of here. We'll see you on the next episode of Talkan Sports.
See ya.
You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching TallCanAudio on your favorite podcast app.